You're listening to Press Start, your weekly look at video games, the gaming industry. Unless you aren't, at which point, this whole thing's kind of moot. My name is David Hampton, joining me today is Chad Claus, one of our regular listeners, and now pretty much our new co-host.
Third co-host?
Yeah.
The host show.
But the first host is kind of, like, not here.
Yeah, we should see about getting him back sometime.
That would be nice. I would enjoy that. So, we this week have a whole bunch of news for you, but we're still keeping our new shorter segment, so
30 minutes,
we're going to kind of rip through it. It's all the sort of things you can find on the internet anyway, and this show has never been about news, this show has been about commentary, so we're going to give you as much of that as we can. What have you been playing this week, Chad?
I rented Guitar Hero 2 Rocks of the 80s, got it last week, pretty much a couple days after it came out. And I've been playing that, but it's definitely a rent game. So yeah. It's about as long as the first game was. About 30 songs.
I thought the first game had a whole bunch more.
I think it was just 30.
Just 30 songs.
Six sets.
Oh, I'm counting all of the
right. Just
all the extra songs.
It has as many songs as the career mode in the first game.
Okay, gotcha. So it's kind of, I guess it really is an expansion. It's Guitar
it's
Hero.
It's basically just an expansion.
Guitar Hero 2 Rocks the 80s.
Yeah, that's what the little colon's for.
That's too bad. Well, that's only too bad because of how much they're charging for it. This game is going for like $50 MSRP in the US, and I don't know. Is it worth it?
Rent it.
I got to agree. Now, we were playing that game for a few minutes over here just before we started the show. It's a lot of fun. The songs are fun.
Yeah. The songs are fun. It's weird because a lot of the times, like during the hammer-ons and pull-offs in the other games, it would be between measures. And this one, there's a lot of songs where it's like every measure would be a hammer-on. So every other measure, you'd have a separate strum part.
Oh, I see what you mean. So you mentioned this earlier, and I didn't entirely follow you. So you'll have a measure full of strumming, and then you'll have a measure of hammer-ons, pull-offs.
Well, say each line on the fretboard would be, if you had one note on each line and there were different notes, you could hammer on those or pull off. But if they're every other note, you wouldn't be hammering on.
Right. Oh, so the notes are farther apart, but they still allow hammer-ons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird at first because I'm used to seeing like the lines, and if the notes are on the lines, I have to strum them. But in this one, it's not always the case.
Do you think that's just a function of the style of music? Or
I think it is just the style of music. So just the 80s is quite a bit different than music now.
It certainly is. It's fun though.
Yeah,
I like that kind of music. I don't know, I'm pretty easily entertained musically. But so the game it's Guitar Hero 2 with like the equivalent of a skin pack over it. All the graphics are in the same place, but they all look different. Fewer characters.
They've got a neon look.
Yeah, everything's neon. Everything's 80s. Even the intro video.
Yeah, the intro video was fine, but I'm not too big of a fan on the neon menus.
Yeah.
So.
It was, well, the intro video was funny, because it's the same video as Guitar Hero 2. I swear the thing was done in Flash, except they just took all of their little Flash, you know, drawings and replaced them with 80s-looking ones, but they had the exact same animations.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
What are you going to do? It's an expansion.
Well, and it's also Harmonix's last game in the Guitar Hero franchise before they start competing with that franchise.
Rock Band.
So I wonder if they're just, they're like, ha 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 ha, screw you guys.
We're going to destroy Guitar Hero for you.
Rock Band, the 80s, appears like this time next year. What are you going to do?
Nah.
I mean, at least music games have gone, you know, mass market.
Yeah.
I remember we used to sit around on the internet just, like, looking for new games because we all thought DDR was really fun.
Yeah.
And the only other music game we'd played was Parappa the Rapper.
I never played that one.
Oh, well, it's, I don't know how to describe that game.
I've seen, like, screenshots of it, and I think I saw a video of it. It's weird.
It's a music game, yes, but it's about freestyle rapping. And the game grades you on three different scales. It's something like creativity, being on beat, and then something else. And it's not obvious at all how exactly you're supposed to get points on each of these scales.
So do you make your own lyrics?
Well, yeah, you'll like one button. Like when he has a sentence, you'll have, you know, the four PlayStation buttons, and each one of those buttons will be part of the sentence.
Okay.
And so you can hit them in the right order, and it'll say everything correctly, or you can start mixing it up and basically like remixing his voice. rapper, things like that. We've come a long way.
The thing's made by Japan. I assume that was Japan.
I think it was a Japanese game originally. I'm not sure. That's a good question. They had that Jammer Lammy game, which was the exact same thing for guitar. Mm. But the songs were silly. And... well, Guitar Hero sort of does that thing better. But I'm glad to see those sort of games coming to the forefront.
Yeah.
Speaking of Guitar Hero, we have the Guitar Hero 3 song lists have been revealed. At least four songs, not the whole song list.
Okay. Better than nothing.
Yeah. Most notably, there's an Iron Maiden song, The Number of the Beast, and more notably than most notably is Dragon Force, The Fire and the Flames, has finally been licensed for a Guitar Hero game. Dragon Force has kind of gotten too popular too fast, and so everyone's starting to talk bad about them, but it's nice to see that somebody was listening to all of the hojillion threads on the internet being like, come on, guys, play Dragon Force! Play Dragon Force! Dragon Force. I actually like Dragon Force quite a lot, although I understand why some people don't. But whatever. That is good to see. There's a ZZ Top song, Lagrange, and Suck My Kiss by the Red Hot Chili Peppers will be on there. Three out of four of those are going to be original masters.
Ooh, that's nice.
Only one of them, I believe Lagrange, is going to be the cover.
Okay.
So that's cool. We're starting to see the industry actually sit up and kind of take notice of this.
Yeah.
So, that's really nice to see. Somewhere over in you guys can hear my mouse clicking, I'm sorry. Somebody on Kotaku got back from Thailand and posted a picture of a Guitar Hero arcade cabinet.
Guitar Hero arcade.
Of all things. This was posted on Kotaku.
So how does it work in an arcade?
Have you ever played Poppin' Music?
I don't think so.
Poppin' Music is this... If you played Beatmania, which did come out in the U.S., it's like that, except it's instead of a turntable and seven buttons, it's nine buttons, and they're enormous. They're like these huge circles. Well, that's what this Guitar Hero cabinet looks like. There are five of these big orbs that you hit.
So just buttons, strumming.
No strumming, no guitar.
So you think about one thing.
Yeah, and it's basically Beatmania. The weird thing is, though, this cabinet looks really well done. Like, this looks like an official cabinet. It has proper speakers. It has coloring all over the place. From the screenshot, it looks like the Guitar Hero game with the rock meter and, you know, the fretboard coming down the middle. But this can't possibly be licensed.
How can it be guitar if there's no strumming?
Well, I guess it's guitar music, but...
But there's no strumming!
I know. I wonder if somebody just tried to copy it and made a game with the same name. Because, I mean, over in, you know, different parts of Asia, piracy and, you know, copyright theft are very, very common.
Yeah, people do it a lot with, like, Step Mania. They try to turn it into Guitar Hero, where you just turn the keyboard upside down and use the F keys.
Yeah, it's that Frets on Fire game.
Yeah, Frets on Fire.
That game was great. Watching people pick up their guitars, hit F1 through F5 on the one hand, or pick up their keyboards. Pardon me. And start ramming on the inner key as if it was a strum bar. Somebody's going to hook this up and make actual music with it, and then they're going to be on YouTube, and all of a sudden this whole thing is going to be popular again.
Ah, crap.
I love the internet. So good. Speaking of the internet, somebody also on Kotaku pulled out a Wired article from September 94.
94? That's older than this show gets.
Yeah. Roger Ebert reviewing a game. He reviewed The Cosmology of Kyoto, which is it's an adventure game of some sort. And this isn't really entirely notable at all, other than when he does his review, he says at one point, "This is the most beguiling computer game I have encountered. A seamless blend of information, adventure, humor, and imagination. The gruesome side-by-side with the divine."
Interesting.
This is how people talk who aren't in the gaming press. Like, Well, like, okay. Oh my god, I don't believe I just said that. All right. Beguiling is not a word I don't believe I've ever heard in 15 or so years of reading gaming news and being a huge nerd talking about games. It's interesting to see what happens when somebody not caught up in our fold of nerditude actually talks about these things.
Not caught up in our gaming ways.
I mean, this is from 94, so he's probably, you know, learned even new words since then, but maybe we should take some cues from this guy. If enough of you people suggest it, we'll do a show where we try to imitate Roger Ebert as best we can reviewing video games. That is all. More Guitar Hero news. In Humboldt, a public library, people have invited kids to come play Guitar Hero and other games, and their plan is, when people line up to play these video games, members of the Humboldt Public Library Teen Advisory Board are springing out from the shadows, books in hand, and telling them, hey, why don't you read these great books?
That is so mean.
I mean, okay, first of all, what better way to reinforce the stereotype than video game players don't read? Thanks, Humboldt Public Library. But furthermore, like, can that work? I said like again. I said like again because I don't read enough. Okay. No, seriously, though, can this work?
Trying to get kids to read by tricking them?
By jumping out of the shadows, Tenchu style, and being like, roar, books!
I think they'd say, where's my Guitar Hero?
I gotta wonder about that. Perhaps they're books about guitars.
Rock history.
Yeah.
Rock history books.
From the School of Rock. I would like to see Jack Black pull this sort of stunt.
Something he would do.
The blog that posted this gets points for including a caption that shows a cat in a box saying, it's a trap. An old internet meme, but sort of appropriate here. The Epic versus Silicon Knights lawsuit that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Somebody has come out and said, who was it? Law of the Game, a law think tank, I believe, pointed out that this sort of lawsuit is pretty common, even outside the industry. And he thinks, as so long as they can show Epic neglected their licenses, no problem. They'll get their money.
That's good.
More news. Inmates in a U.S. prison really like the Nintendo 64. Correctional officers hated the N64. This comes off of a gaming blog from a person who works at a Supermax prison in the U.S. He says that the big thing about the Nintendo 64 is that the rumble packs could be outfitted with a needle and a ballpoint pen and some ink.
Oh, jeez.
And used to make a makeshift tattoo kit. Imagine, if you will, a whole bunch of hardened criminals sitting around a maximum security prison with a Nintendo rumble pack, I presume plugged into a controller, and I presume with some game sending it rumble. That's why it moves up and down so much. Or maybe they hotwired it or something like that.
I was gonna say, wouldn't they just need some way to send signal to it?
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder, do they have access to that sort of thing? A whole bunch of Australian people have access to PS2s. I mean,
well, don't they sometimes have workshops inside prisons? I don't know if they'd be able to get anything out of that to hook up to that rumble pack, but
I don't even know.
The things these inmates do.
Nintendo has always been famous for their innovations.
Helping inmates everywhere.
Well, so the hardcore inmate / biker market certainly has never been cornered by video games, although Full Throttle made a notable attempt some years ago, licensing music from the Gone Jackals. Yeah, we should make that bumper music. That was a good song. So yes, Nintendo may be sitting on something. Perhaps they could release a virtual console rumble kit that would allow people to tattoo each other using the Wiimotes. I don't know. Well, I love Nintendo.
As long as it's a Mario tattoo, it'll be fine.
It's the Mario tattoo. There was a picture floating around the internet the other day of a guy who got a full-back tattoo with Mario characters on it. Jeez. It had Peach with this fantastic expression on her face. You know, it had Wario, it had the Koopas, all of these things. And the middle is this huge, huge plumber we all know and love with his huge straps and his huge belly and all his plumbing.
Was it in color?
Mario and Peach were, but the rest wasn't. I don't think it was done yet.
It's a lot to do.
Go figure. Pixel, a one-man artist who is not Nintendo, has decided to make an RPG. This guy made a freeware game called Cave Story some time ago that was fantastically popular in the freeware community and had just really good, you know, pixel art, had really, really fun music, all old chiptune-y stuff. Looked like an NES game, played like an MSX game, had all the charm of all the best games coming out today. He is understandably not wanting to put himself too far forward, so he said, well, it's a more of a challenge than anything I've done before, and I apologize in advance in case I never finish it.
Which is next Duke Nukem Forever?
Yeah, and that's awful nice of him.
At least he gave a warning.
At least he gave a warning, but I mean, there's a million fanboys out there. This guy has spawned so much fan art, people are going to have his head if he doesn't finish his new game.
Yeah.
No word yet if it's going to be tied into the same game. He has released, however, that it will be, and I quote, fun to play. Somehow. One way or another, he's going to make a good game. Bungie is also trying to make a good game, and they've declared that the new Halo is going to have co-op. Here's the problem. One guy plays as Master Chief, one guy plays as the Arbiter, two guys get to be elites.
Okay.
Who wants to play the elites?
Now, I never really played Halo 2, so I don't know the whole storyline either.
Master Chief is a stupendous badass, the Arbiter is a stupendous badass, the elites are the guys you shoot all the time.
Yeah, I got that much. Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure I was on the right page.
Are not stupendous bad eye. If you follow Halo at all, you undoubtedly already know about all this, so on to the next story. The next story is Bungie-related. Bungie's old game, Marathon, the old Macintosh shooter, is coming back. It's coming back on Xbox Live, it's going to have new graphics, multiplayer, all that stuff. You may recall when Bungie first made Halo, and it became popular with college students and drunkards everywhere. A whole bunch of, you know, Macintosh fanboys came out and said, ah, yes, we were playing Bungie games years ago. We played Marathon. Yes, Marathon. Very good game. And, well, now everybody else gets to act all old school and gets to play the second game. The second game was, I believe, the most popular of the series? I don't know. Have you played it?
No, I haven't.
I haven't played it, but
I was never a Macintosh person.
Nor was I. Not until just recently. However, not to be outdone, this new game is the second game in the series. Now I think I have to go back and try to emulate the first game, so I can be all holier than thou against all the people I play against on Xbox. Like, oh, this game is great, but the first game that none of you have played, this is a fantastic game. Excellent vintage. Wonderful graphics and gameplay.
And stuff.
And stuff. Marathon Durandal will be coming out, what, today?
Today, Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, today is Wednesday, 1st okay. of August.
Fantastic. Another game coming out is Sam & Max Season 2. It's the sequel to Sam & Max Season 1, also released first through GameTap. And once again, if you follow Sam & Max at all, you already know everything about this, so there's nothing else we need to talk about. You played through Season 1, didn't you?
I did not finish the whole season, no.
Okay,
neither did I. I played up to the 4th episode.
Oh, got farther than I did. I played half of the first episode, then I got stuck because my frame rate was about 10 frames a second.
Yeah, I got stuck in the first part of the fourth one just because I couldn't figure out what to do.
Hmm.
So.
But we have internets.
Yes, we do.
We can check all of them.
I think there was only 6 episodes in the season.
Yeah, 6 episodes in season 1. There was a side... I believe there was a side game, or a side... No, there was a comic. That's what there was. And then, of course, there's the original LucasArts game. Which I just played through again recently. I love that game. And I guess there's a new one. So, an old franchise is coming back. That is fantastic.
Can't wait for Monkey Island. Come on, LucasArts.
Yeah.
Please.
You know, you were talking about Monkey Island, a possible Monkey Island 5 on our last show.
Yeah.
So, you got me all interested. I fired up the Monkey Madness CD, ooh, fired up ScumVM.
There we go.
Played through the 3 trials in the first game, and now I'm stuck because I can't remember what to do.
Where are you at?
Let's see, LeChuck just... Okay, all the pirates just cleared out of the island. I finished the 3 trials.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil anything, because I really do recommend this game.
I think I know where you're at. I think I know what you have to do.
Okay. I think I just haven't gone and, you know, talked to enough people yet.
Check the prison.
Okay, I'll check the prison.
I'll say that.
Thank you.
Won't ruin anything else.
But I have to talk to the rat. This is getting pretty esoteric, ain't it?
Oh, well.
Anyway. If you haven't played this game and you don't know what we're talking about,
play it.
I recommend it. It is, if you like adventure games, the old point-and-click adventures, this is arguably the most successful series, with the exception of maybe King's Quest. But it certainly has more fans that are rabid these days. Although, to be fair, no Monkey Island fans have gone out and made their own sequel.
That's true.
I should go check that site, see if they've finished it.
Space Quest by Sierra. Mm-hmm. People are trying to work on Space Quest. The next Space Quest.
There is a fan Space Quest in production. Is there a real Space Quest 7 in production?
I don't think so. I think it's just the fans are trying to make Space Quest 7.
So it's going to be like King's Quest 9.
Yeah. I don't know if it's been improved, though.
Do you think Vivendi Universal is going to issue them another fan license?
I would like them to, but it's been in the works for a long time now, the 7th one. So I don't know where they're at anymore in the production.
We wish to thank Vivendi Universal for setting that kind of a precedent. That was really cool. Whereas other companies, like Squaresoft, have just clamped down on their fans' productions, they have gone ahead and issued them a license to go ahead, just don't make any money, don't take away from our IP. And I say, yay, that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I have one more story for you. The Xbox Live Marketplace put out a demo recently. They put out a whole bunch of demos. AP Football, NASCAR, MotoGP. But the one that caught my eye was this, a new Dynasty Warriors game. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, well, you've already gone through the WTF that I went through. But Dynasty Warriors Gundam.
Dynasty Warriors Gundam.
It is exactly what it sounds like it is.
Gundam.
It's a Dynasty Warriors game where you run around and hack a whole bunch of stuff into pieces.
Using Gundam.
Except you're in the Japanese Gundam robots. With your beam swords and your giant cannons and your...
And your flyingness?
And your bullets and animes and wings. Yeah. Yeah, no, seriously, that's the game. This game gets serious points over the other Dynasty Warriors games because you can see the other enemies coming before they are on top of you. It also points because the dead body infinite's in this game. I watched you, Chad, hit a guy 36 times before you finally missed him and he exploded.
Yeah, I killed him, and then I just kept on hitting his dead body, the shell of the robot.
And it really was his body, too. Because after two hits, like both his arms fell off.
And his legs and his head.
Oh, did those fall too? I thought the legs were still there.
They all just kind of jettison.
It's like those old crash test dummies action figures they used to make where they had the buttons on their chest and all their limbs were spring-loaded. Oh, we used to launch those things off of catapults and stuff. Now, there's a game. Take Flatout with all of its racing and all of its pilot or driver ejectory. Given the old crash test dummies toys, we know it's popular. Lego Star Wars proved it. And just... let them explode.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was Flat Out. There is a mode where you just kind of, you're in this arena and you just kind of throw your car around and you, like, it had different things set up. You had different tasks you could do. You could try to make a field goal with your driver by running your car up a ramp and then hitting this stop and your driver would fly through the windshield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. Whole bunch of mini games like that. Yeah. Those are pretty good mini games. So anyway, that was fun, and if this game teaches us anything about robots, it teaches us that arms and legs fall off, but everything inside is indestructible. Don't worry, robot pilots, it's what's inside that counts. We should probably adjust our Chrome Hound strategy, huh?
Yeah.
That's another game we should probably talk about.
It's, a year old? 2 years, almost?
Is it
that
old?
You're kidding,
it can't be that old.
I think it came out late 2005, maybe.
Oh.
Because I didn't get it when it first came out.
Let's see. I had my 360 when it came out, which was in 2006. And I guess it is coming up on a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, dang. Anyway, I finally got into this game. Longtime listeners will recall Justin making fun of me for being all anticipating it and then not buying it because I thought the demo was terrible.
Well,
it turns out the demo was pretty much a pile of lies.
Was it just like the single player version?
It was two single player missions.
Okay. Yeah.
It was I think one soldier mission and one sniper mission.
I think Justin said it best. Single player is just a tutorial for the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is that single player, there's enough hours there that if I had paid, you know, $15-$20 for the game, that would have been a decent game.
I'm still going through the single player stuff. I finished the game, but I'm still trying to get S ranks on all the missions.
And that's fun. I mean, it's actually a good game. Everyone said the single player was crappy. So my entire experience with this game before I actually played it was all just a whole bunch of mistakenly heard or misunderstood things from different people. I heard that you could only have six people in your squad total. when in fact it's only 6 in one map at a time.
Yeah.
Our squad has like 20 people in it.
Yeah, there's a maximum of 20 you can have.
Okay, 15. We're not at the max, but no. We're up there.
Probably around 17 now.
Okay, so yeah, like 17 people. We're up there, regardless.
Yeah.
But I heard that... What else did I hear? I heard the single player was terrible and not worth playing through, and only like 5-6 hours worth of play.
Well, I have about 30 hours in it.
Oh, in the single player?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm
pretty sure it's around there.
I've got probably 8 or 9 now.
But it's definitely worth it, because you get parts for getting different ranks in each mission. And, like, I have A's in a lot of the ranks, and after changing it to an S, I get more parts.
Mm-hmm. And that's fun. You can do that without joining in the online war.
And then you can bring those parts into the online. Mm-hmm.
But I heard that you could only, like, the online wasn't any fun if you didn't have tons of people to play with. Yeah, not at all. You can solo. You can basically play single player.
It's not as fun, though.
It's not as fun. But it's like playing bots in, you know, a shooter versus people. It's still fun if you just want to sit there and do it. If none of your friends are on, you can still do it. You can still play.
The only thing is you have to be in a squad to be able to join the Neuromus Wars. Otherwise, you're doing individual missions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But they have a squad finder, at least. And you can create your own squad. There's no problem. And so, and finally, I played the demo, and it made me think the single player was nothing more than a trumped-up mech assault that was slower and a little harder to control. When, in fact, the single player goes and teaches you all the team tactics.
And then the customization you can do.
Seriously. Yeah, the customization I heard was mostly correct. Although I did hear that it was the highlight of the game, and everything else was kind of meh. When, really, like, the customization is tons of fun.
I think they go hand in hand. Customization, you can do so much to customize stuff, and then putting it out there and using it. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
And the customization is possibly the most fun, but it's the most fun because the real-time, like, actually playing it is so fun. So, I'm mad at you, Internet. You lied to me. This game was really fun, and I'm sad I waited so long to pick it up.
But you have it now, so...
I do have it. I played with you the other day.
All rejoice.
Yes, all rejoice. Yay! Dave has chrome pounds, giant robots of smashing. Okay, that's enough of that. That's it for my news. What news do you have, Jed?
I have one game that I found. Settlers, if you remember, they had... Settlers 3 was one of the most popular ones in the series. Well, they actually have 6 coming up now. Their 6th one's coming out in September. It's by Ubisoft and Blue Byte. So it should be pretty good. I mean, this year has had a bunch of good strategy games. We had Civilization 4, Battle Stations Midway, Command & Conquer 3.
Mm-hmm. Supreme Commander.
Yeah, Supreme Commander. We've had a good year so far for strategy games. And this should be another one. This one, you will be able to zoom, like, way in to the point where you can see a butcher chopping up his meat.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, I watched a video for this game. It was a trailer. And they were following one guy that had hunted a deer and was carrying it, assumedly, back to his house. And he's passing by everything, and it's all zoomed in, so you can see what's going on. So it should be pretty good. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, have you played the other games in the series?
I played the third one.
Okay. So, and how'd you like it? Or what kind of a game is it? Real-time?
It's a real-time strategy, but you have your borders like you do in most games. Like, this is my area, this is your area.
Mm-hmm.
But you can steal each other's borders. I'm pretty sure that's how you could do that. But you could also have a sustained economy. So you can have you guys hunting deer in the forest, but if they hunt too much, then the deer will all die out.
Oh, it's like the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, but also if they chop away at the forest too much, then all the deer will leave. So you have to keep everything in mind. You can't hunt too much, and you can't chop down too much of their habitat.
So the moral of the story is your party of mankind is basically an evil, destructive force, and all of nature hates you, and David the Gnome is going to, you know, never want to talk to you, and you make Bambi cry.
Just try to be symbiotic with everything that you're trying to keep your people alive with.
So can you sustain these resources? Can you set it up so the resources are self-replenishing? Or
It sounds like it, as long as you don't do... you could get your wood from another forest and just keep this one area and hunt your deer from that area, but just don't hunt too much. And I assume that the deer will keep regenerating or spawning or whatever you want to call it.
I mean, they're deer.
Yeah. But, I mean, so it should be interesting.
I had a friend once who refused to play Warcraft 2.
I like that one.
Well, because he wouldn't chop down the trees. It's like, they're the trees.
Oh my god.
They deserve to live.
They're the trees. You need wood.
Yeah, and
trees have wood.
I felt bad for him, because on the one hand, he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to deforest the place. On the other hand,
he couldn't build anything.
He lost a lot. I figured, you know, it's not that he's doing it wrong, I guess, so much as he's playing the wrong game.
What game should he be playing? Forestry?
Oh, I don't know. Simant.
Simant?
Sim Farm. Do they have a Sim Forestry?
I don't know.
No. This guy was a really nice guy, but that's one of my better stories from him. He truly, we were told, like, yes, harvest some wood. He goes, no! Like, what do you mean, no? I don't want to chop down the trees.
Where are you going to live?
It was a good time. Well, in Warcraft, you don't have to live. I mean, you're...
Well, yeah, but where you guys...
You just have to hit stuff really hard. It's like World of Warcraft.
You're not going to have any archers, though.
That's true. Yeah, he didn't do much arching. So, Settlers 6.
It's called The Settlers Rise of an Empire.
Rise of
an
Empire.
But it's the sixth in the series.
Fantastic.
And it will be coming out September 18th, unless that changes.
All right. Well, mark your calendar, strategy fans.
Anything else for you, Dave?
That was your story?
Yeah, that's all
I got. I had 17 stories in your...
I got one.
Yeah, that's
okay.
It's
better than nothing.
To be fair, you did better than I do when I go in with... I would go in with Justin and he'd have all the same stories I had. And I had to struggle to find something he didn't have. So I started looking around in weird places looking for stuff that I was pretty sure he didn't even know about. It's kind of hard to do sometimes. We did pull that story off about the blind gaming, though.
Yeah, that was good.
I was pretty proud of that one.
That was a good one.
Pretty much everything else he got. We should do another special like that.
With, like, a different type
some
of gaming.
Some sort of weird video gaming that isn't very well explored or something.
I don't know. What do you know that's like that?
I know somebody mounted a camera to the front of a Terminator 2 pinball machine and made a first-person pinball game. It's called The Furminator. I'm not kidding.
Look it up.
I don't have a link to it. But yeah, it appears to be a Terminator 2 machine mounted 5 feet up into the air and encircled, so it's totally, you know, or I'm sorry, covered in wood, so you can't see anything. But if you stick your head inside this Beachhead 2000-looking headset that is behind this machine, you can stare. Your vantage point is from right behind the two flippers. I think the idea is to create the illusion that there is the very real chance that...
You'll be hit by a pinball.
Yeah, the pinball is going to smack you square in the face.
Just imagine all the people playing, and then all of a sudden they jerk their head out of the way.
Yeah, so... The Furminator. I don't know if they're going to sell this or what, but there it is.
Okay, so there's our start on weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. We have some sad news, sad local news. A local policeman was killed during a police chase. Some dumbass was being chased by the police all the way from Rancho Cordova. The guy was high on drugs and hadn't slept in 3 days. And the policeman, Doug Scott Russell, known as Scott to his friends, was killed when the man swerved to avoid the spike strip Mr. Russell had just put down. And... veered right for him. Of course, it's still under investigation, but the police are quite adamant that he did aim for him, and, well, I can only assume he did, because otherwise he would have gone around the other side. Mr. Russell was killed, unfortunately, and being that he was a local guy and doing a lot of service to our community, we wanted to let everyone know about the situation and say that our hearts go out to him and his family. So... sad news. Anyway, that is that. We want to thank you for joining us again this week. It's our new format. Email us to let us know what you think. Press start kcpr@gmail.com or me, goat@thefighting.org.
Or check out mine, sempaternity87@gmail.com.
You can reach the show at pressstart.thefighting.org. Although I'm sure you already know that if you're listening to it now. We no longer broadcast over KCPR. We are an internet-only show. And as such, we have certain freedoms afforded to internet-only shows. Send us your emails, send us your suggestions, send us your audio submissions if you'd like them to be played, and we will be happy to see what we can do. Thank you again for joining us. How does that go?
For
Chad
Dave,
Claus?
There you go.
I'm David Hampton. Or for David Hampton, he's Chad Claus. I don't even know.
For Dave Hampton, I'm Chad Claus. This is Press Start. Game over.
Still recording.
Yeah, you hit the space button.
Oh, damn.